to tell you a little bit about Rod and Connie and Mark and Eileen. Marv, did I say Mark? Did I really do that to you, Marv? I'm sorry. Marv and I'm great at messing up names. They've become friends over the last several years. Rod and Connie in Rochester, Destiny Church, host Global Legacy meetings three times a year. And for me, I go down there. It's a fellowship of churches that are just pursuing revival, pursuing the more of God, pursuing just an active move of God in our land. And it all begins in our own hearts, right? It's got to begin somewhere. And those meetings for me over the years that I've pastored have been a lifeline. The relationships that I've built there, the encouragement that I get when I'm there, it's really been a significant input into my life. And Rod and Connie have a grace upon their life for the body of Christ and freedom. And they do such an amazing job hosting so graciously those meetings. And I've just come to love them as a mom and dad, really. They are a mom and a dad. They've been through a lot in their lives. I like to hear your testimony sometimes. I always hear the testimony of when you couldn't check the box any longer, you know. That's a fun one. But really a rich, rich couple in the Lord. So why don't you welcome Rod? I don't know if Connie is going to come up. You're going to come up too, Connie? Yay! Come on up.
Sounds good.
Okay. I just wanted to greet you. Sue and Dave, they've been coming to the Global Legacy ever since the beginning. And we've been doing it for how many years now?
2009.
2009.
Yeah.
So they were one of the core people that when we started meeting, there was 20 people, that 20 pastors and wives that got together. So probably 10 couples, if that. So, and they have been a blessing, a real blessing. And when we came in here, it's like, I felt just, I knew.
Home.
Home. It's like my prophetic juices were just already going. I was starting to get all kinds of visions.
I think
I'll
sit
what's
down.
What's going on, God? He said, because this is where they have freedom in that. And yeah. So when you are prophetic, you know, I just gave Marv a word this morning. I looked at him and I said, and then he tells me something. I go, Marv. I says, I have to tell you. I said, I was standing here, and I says, the Lord's opening up the prophetic to you in more than you can imagine way. That's why you're going to be feeling things every place he goes. It's like he has his hand on him. And I mean, it's just like when you come into an atmosphere that encourages it and welcomes it, then you just flow in it. So it's flowing with whoever, you know, is here and stuff.
Yeah.
We are so blessed to be here. We have tried to come many times when you've had special things going on and stuff. You would not believe it. We've had it on the calendar and things came up and we could not come. So God must have wanted us here this morning.
Yeah.
And we're excited to see what God's going to do. He's going to impart. But you guys have an excellent church here. We sense it from the beginning. It's like you don't even have to ask. It's like it's here. You just go with it by faith and what he says to you, you know, during the services or anything. Because you have it. You know, we have to act like we have it. So, bless you, bless you.
Yeah, she gives Marv a prophetic word, and then she turns to me and says, now, don't go too long. That's good. We love being one of the reasons we love churches like this is, you know, I can just put it down here. You can give the mic to Connie. She'll probably use it again sometime. Yeah, I love traveling with Connie. So she's always got some. But I love charismatics because I can say anything I want. And Dave told me I could say anything I want. And you actually understand me, you know, because we speak the same language, you know. There was a couple of years ago, we had a new pastor come to town, and he was evangelical pastor, and I always hang out with the evangelicals down there, and so I thought, well, I want to get to know him a little bit better, and so we went out to lunch together, And I rarely do this with someone new, especially someone who's just in the evangelical ranks and not charismatic ranks. Charismatics, I don't care. But I found myself telling my story about when Connie and I went to Toronto back in 1994. We went there a few times and some of the encounters I had with God. And even as I started saying that, I'm going, why am I doing this? You know, it's like I wanted to take the story back. But once you start a story, you got to finish it. And so I did. And when I was done with this story, I remember him. He was a pretty big guy. He sat back in his chair, folded his arms, and said, "Where is that in the Bible?" You know, and I wanted to tell him, well, you know, if the Bible wasn't finished, I know my story would have got in there. You know, but I didn't. And because he didn't understand, he had never heard that kind of stuff happening. That we encountered, the stories we have often, you know, a lot of the world doesn't experience that. So we're blessed. We're really blessed. I was, Connie and I were up in Tomahawk, Wisconsin last month, and we're going to speak at Ryan Hawley's church up there. And so we stayed at a hotel on Saturday night. And Sunday morning I got up and went down to the lobby there where they had free breakfast, you know, and I sat there and grabbed my breakfast and at the table, and they had a TV there on, and it was a guy preaching. And so I was listening to him while I was eating my breakfast there in the morning, and he had a good message. And then at the end of his message, he sat, you know, at his desk. The camera switched. Now he's at his desk, and he's face-to-face with the viewers there, and he's talking about the twisted and unraveling world. And, you know, he's getting to his point where he's going to kind of give the altar call message for those that were watching via TV. But I thought about, you know, the twisted and unraveling world. In other words, things are getting worse, you know. And so therefore, you know, that he could jump into what he was going to do next. And so unraveling, you know, if you're a student of history, you would know that there, and twisted maybe at times, yes, but unraveling, that's not true. Because actually the world is raveling. If you're a student of history, you can see that. You know, the kingdom of God started with 120 in the upper room, and now one-third of the world claim to be Christian. Now, that's called growth. In fact, I got some statistics here. Let me just read these to you. In 100 AD, one out of 360 people in the world were Christian. In 1000 AD, one out of 220 in the world were Christian. Some of you might have read this somewhere. In 1500 AD, one out of 69 in the world were Christian. So it's growing. In 1900, not that long ago, one out of 27 in the world were Christian. That was when the population, you know, hit a billion. In 1990, one out of seven people in the world claimed to be Christian. Now, that's quite a lot of growth. In 2016, one out of three. You know, in a world of 7 billion, you know, because after 1990, that's when Africa exploded and South America and Central America, and, you know, people saved all over the place. And things are getting better. In fact, Mandy, do you want to show that? I got this video. Some of you might have saw it. It's on the growth of the kingdom. I'll step aside and you can. They're doing stuff on their computer. So there it is. So turn the volume nice and high. It's got some music with it. The dates are up in the left-hand corner. 2016. How many of you have seen that before? What, do you want to see it again? Do you want to see it? Can you roll it again? That's so good. If you're a student of history, it makes you want to cry. Just seeing the expansion of the kingdom. You know, we have a lot of work to do, but we're winning.
Amen.
We're not losing. We're winning. And it's the amazing thing is it's amongst Christians oftentimes it's the opposite that's being spoken. And you think, wait a minute, look at what's really going on. If you study, like even hunger, for instance, there are less starving people today than there ever has been. Since the garden, we got a lot of work to do, but we are winning. The kingdom has seen amazing growth. Connie and I were in São Paulo, Brazil, I think about 12 years ago with our youth. We went to a Randy Clark thing, you know, and it was amazing. But we went to the city of São Paulo. And the time we were there, São Paulo had more Assembly of God people in that one city than there were in all of the United States. You know, and so what happens is we sometimes look at the world through our setting, and if our local setting or even national setting isn't seeing amazing things happen, we think, well, nothing's happening. But that's not true. The kingdom is growing, and it's growing immensely. And overseas, you know, it's the supernatural that's everyday life. But we don't see that all the time. I had a neat miracle when we're in São Paulo. We're at a church, and we went to all kinds of churches. We were there almost 3 weeks, and at the end of the message, and the youth were doing all the preaching. We got the leftovers, which were so cool. But there were so many people that wanted healing, you know. So there would be a youth guy that would preach, and then someone would give the altar call, and then after that, we'd always have prayer for healing. Whoever needs to be healed, come. And so we'd all stand in front. And because there were so many people that would come, and people would line up in front of us. And I remember we're at this church, and I had an interpreter at this church, and I started getting a long line of people. The first lady in my line, she was old. I mean, no kidding, she looked like she was 100 years old. And she's really old. And so through the interpreter, she started telling me what she needed prayer for. And she would point to here and say that and point to here and then here. And then she was pointing all over her body, you know, what she needed healing for. And I'm a little bit embarrassed about this. But the first thought that came to my mind after she was done with her list was, lady, you're like 100 years old. What do you expect? You know, seriously, that's what my mind was thinking. And then, so now I'm repenting, you know. So, you know, the process you go through sometimes when you're praying for somebody. So now, Jesus, forgive me for thinking that thought, you know. I'm so sorry. What do you want to do, Jesus? And I'm standing about 3 feet from her, and all of a sudden I see a transparent, like, blue robe. But right in between her and I. And it looked like it was wore by someone that was 10 foot tall, you know, but I didn't look up. I could see through it. I could see the robe, and it looked like that person was hugging her, you know, as I'm looking through that, just looking through a blue robe at her. And so I'm just standing back. It lasts like 15, 20 seconds. I don't think it was more than that. I don't know. The translator didn't see anything, and I'm watching that, and then it disappears. And she looks up. She says, I'm healed. And yes, it's like I wanted to get my, yeah. Yes, I wanted to get my hand on her so I could get credit for it or something, you know. It's like, you know how we are. So no, I'm not speaking like I'm the only one who would think that thought. But God's doing amazing things. We had a lady that started coming to our Hearing the Voice of God class, it's I think 2 years ago, and had never been to our church, but heard about our class, started coming to that, and it was, we're like 4 weeks into our class. It's a 7 week long class, and I noticed when she came to the service, she looked really depressed, like something was really wrong. And I taught the class, and then when most people had left, she was still there. And so I went up and said, well, how are you doing? You know, I hardly knew this lady. So how are you doing? And she said, well, I'm not doing well. She says, I've been having these female problems. And so last week I went to, you know, because Mayo Clinic's right across the street from us there. So she said, I went to the Mayo Clinic, and they took some x-rays, and they found a whole lot of my organs looked like they appeared to be growing together. And that's not good. And so at the beginning of the week, they had taken some biopsies from all over the place. And just that morning, this was Thursday, just that morning, the clinic, Mayo Clinic, had called her and says, you know, we don't have all the tests in yet. But the tests that have come back, they put the biopsies in these little, was it petri dishes or something? He says the tests that have come back, they're all showing cancer. And so there was a few of us there. We prayed for her, and you know that, you know, God touch her and heal her. And the next day she calls me. She said Friday. She said the Mayo Clinic just called her, and they says, you know, all the tests aren't in yet, but it's strange because all the petri dishes that had cancer in them yesterday don't have the, there's nothing there today. And, yeah. So Saturday, she finds out all the tests are in on Saturday, and they call her and say, you know, there's no sign of cancer. And Sunday, or then Monday, she goes in and meets with the doctors. They say, well, it's not cancer. We haven't found any cancer at all. And so God not only healed her, he healed the petri dishes that were, I mean, go figure that, you know, God is so amazing. Anyway, that was really cool. I was in Guyana once with Marv. If you ever want to go on a neat mission trip, go with Marv to Guyana or wherever he goes. Philippines or wherever, but I was there once and I was teaching that same class, the Hearing the Voice of God class down there, and I have a one teaching on healing, and at the end of that, I try to get, you know, with words of knowledge, we get half the class who need healing and the other half who can pray for them. That's what we do at the end, and I never pray for people because when I leave, I want them to have done the stuff and experienced it. And so I get all the class, we had about 30 in this class, get them all paired up and ready to pray, and I was just going to start giving them instructions, and this old lady walks in. She had been in the outhouse, and we're in Warapoka, and she had been in the outhouse there, and so she comes in, and there isn't anybody left to pray for her, and so she told me she needed prayer, and so I said, well, I'll pray for you in a sec, and so I start everyone rolling. I give the instructions, get them to start to pray. And I just turned to the lady, and like in 10, 15 seconds, you know, I asked her, you know, what's the problem? She says, I'm blind in my left eye. And so I just pray and command sight to come back or whatever I prayed. I can't remember. And then I turned to give more instructions to the class. And when I turn, she's pulling on my shirt like that. And it's like, you know, it's like, just wait till I'm done. You know, because my mind was on my class. And then finally when I turned to her, her face was glowing. And she said, I can see. I can see. You know. So I'm saying all that just to say, things are getting better.
Amen.
Things are getting a lot better. I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I mean, throwing the towel, I mean, we have a lot of work to do, but we are winning. Yes. And we have been winning since Jesus came.
Amen.
If you study history, that's what it is. It was 2 years ago this September, I was reading The Week magazine, and they quoted something from the New York Times, and it was a little article, don't kid, just really little, on the bottom of a page in the middle of the magazine. And let me just read what they said. They said, the peace treaty announced last week between the government of Colombia and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, effectively means there are currently no wars being waged in the entire Western Hemisphere. Wow. Now, that should have been on the front page. That's unheard of in the history of the world, you know. Dr. Steven Pinker says, violence has been in decline for thousands of years. Today, we may be living in the most peaceful era in our species' existence. Wars between states, by far the most destructive of all conflicts, are all but obsolete. Now, the media rarely reports the good news. Why? Because it doesn't sell. And so we don't hear things like this. So what we do hear are the pockets of violence around the world. And they're disturbing. Remember, we have a lot of work to do, but we are winning.
Amen.
It's like where we're going is, and I'm talking kingdom standards here, you know. Where we're going, it's like a sawtooth pattern, you know. We're going up like this, but every once in a while something will go bad, you know. But then we're higher. And even if you compare our times with, especially like the 1900 or at that time frame, we're doing so much better in every aspect. And it's mainly because of Christians. When missionaries go to the mission field, one of the first things they do is they teach everyone to read and write. So the education of the world has been proved mainly because of Christians. Muslims don't do that. But we do. And we're having an impact, and we're changing. We've gone from, since 1990, from 1 in 7 to now, in 2016, 1 in 3. This is a good time to be alive. I think this is the best time ever to be alive since the garden. There's so much happening. And God is raising up so many people like you and me that say, well, it's in the Bible. Why not us?
That's right. Come on.
Last April here, just a couple months ago, there was 11 of us that got together for a 24-hour retreat. You know, they're pastors and leaders from churches. And we met down in a place called the Wilderness Center near Wells, Minnesota. It's about an hour and a half from Rochester, close to Albert Lee in that area. And so we just went to that prayer center. That built, it's an old church building. And just stayed there, slept in on chairs and whatever we could find to sleep in. We just stayed there for 24 hours. And our last few hours together, we decided, let's talk about the future of the church. You know, what we see is going to happen in the church. And, you know, where it's going, what it's going to look like, what are we going to be doing? And we thought, you know, the best way to do that is just read the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it should be happening to us, you know. And so we spent 3 hours dreaming. How many like to dream about great things that could happen? And that's what we did. We spent 3 hours dreaming. And like I said, things are getting better. Christian media doesn't always report that. Depends on who you're listening to. And for sure, the world's media doesn't report that. Things are getting better. We've got a lot of work to do, but we're winning. Let me give you an example just how things are changing in the kingdom. 30 years ago, when Connie and I first went to Rochester and started pastoring the church we're pastoring, the largest evangelical church in town at that time, I think it's still the largest evangelical church, the most influential church in town, was preaching from the pulpit that if you spoke in tongues, you were demon-possessed. That was 30 years ago. Well, now, you know, that they changed pastors. The pastor is a good friend of ours. And now there's all kinds of tongue speakers in the church. So what was called evil just 30 years ago is now is common and it's accepted. You know, we've seen the same thing with the prophetic ministry. You know, back, if you remember back 30 years ago, most even charismatic churches, you know, it was, you know, if you have a church of 200, there was probably a half a dozen people that were the ones who prophesied. You know, you could, you knew it during the service. You know, if someone's going to prophesy, well, it's going to be Sally or Fred, you know, or something like that. And just so you were a charismatic church, and that's how prophecy worked. What's now we found out we can all prophesy.
Amen.
And so, what we was for a few has now become common to be everyone. And that we're all connected. You know, there's still prophets that have a ministry, but hey, we're all connected. You know, and that has grown to be normal and common. And healing, probably 30 years ago, most of the healings were happening in one of two ways. Either it was a really big name speaker that would come into town and there would be healings at his service, or you had to go on a missions trip if you want to see healings, right? You've been around long enough. And, well, now that's changing. Where all of a sudden, it's the little kids.
Come on.
We've had a couple people that came to our church, or they go to our church, and they were sick with something, and instead of getting prayer at the service, they go to the nursery. Because our nursery kids are always praying for the sick. They even practice. They put Band-Aids on kids and pray. They just, you know, let's get ready for the real thing. Well, we've had people go into the nursery, have the little kids. I mean, these are 3 and under. Pray for them and they get healed. You know? So, so what started with a lot of resistance has now become common. So we're seeing changes like that. And so we're thinking, if that's the case with just those few things, what about some of the other things that are in the Bible that we're still not seeing every day? They're going to become common too. So we just started listing some of them. Like Jesus said, for instance, he says, greater things will you do than I did. I mean, how many have meditated on that? You know, and then you got Paul says, he says that God can do more than we could ask or even think.
Yeah.
What's that mean? That no matter where you're at, you're thinking too small. You know, you could spend hours awake at night meditating on that one, you know, because no matter how much you dream, God can do more than that. So raising people from the dead. I mean, that was kind of common with Jesus, you know. And back when I was young, you might read a few books where something like that happened, mainly in the past, you know. But then, as I started to grow in the Lord, you started hearing reports in Africa and different places like that, you know, where it's starting to happen. And to say, you know this, right? Oh, and then now it's more and more and more. Marv, one or two people did you raise from the dead? At least one. Just one. And then someone from a coma in 3 days. In a coma. This is in a village where you can't get to the hospital. There's a lady in a coma for 3 days. And he walks in and she sits up, you know, and just as he prays. I mean, things like this are going to be common. I have a son-in-law that lives in California, and he's a physical therapist. So, been in a hospital, he's around people that die all the time, and he can't publicly go, like, they don't encourage him to go into a dead person's room and raise them from the dead. But what he does, he says, you know, this is going to be common. And so if he's out in the hallway and hears that someone just died in a room, and he'll look around and make sure there's nobody there, and he'll just sneak in and give it a shot. You know, why not? Most of us aren't in that situation where we can. But it also means if we're going to do greater things than Jesus, that means whatever happened to Jesus should or could be happening to us, even in a greater dimension. Jesus is on the mountain, we call it the mountain of transfiguration, and all of a sudden he starts to glow. He's transfigured. He becomes somebody else. And John 16:12, it says Jesus appeared in another form. That's why I didn't recognize him right away. John says, as he is, so are we in this world. Wouldn't you like to just be standing there and start to glow? Jesus said, greater things shall you do than I have done. We're just scratching the surface.
That's right.
On what has for, I think God has for our generation. I think our generation is going to see all of this stuff happen. Teleportation. I'll just go down the list of what we were talking about. Teleportation. You know, you remember Philip, you know, he's just hanging out in Samaria, and then God, an angel of the Lord comes and tells him to go down this road and finds this Ethiopian, goes down, baptizes him. And then, this is so cool, as they're walking out of the water, he disappears. Finds himself a day's walk in another place, and well, just starts preaching the gospel there. He's teleported. Anybody here been teleported yet? Sean Boltz talks about that. He was teleported once with his car. His car, and they ended up in a whole different city. Just bam, just like that. So what's that mean? It means we're already hearing stories of that happening. So when you start hearing stories of it happening, it means, okay, now it's available. Heaven's been opened and it's available to us. John Paul Jackson told a story of, he was in Europe doing ministry there, and he got really sick. For weeks he was sick, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night, this little Mexican guy shows up in his room. Did you guys hear this story? He shows up in his room there in Europe and prays over him, and he's immediately healed. So he starts talking to this guy after, and turns out this guy was from Mexico, and he was very advanced in age, and he had just prayed, God, before I die, let me just do something astounding, a miracle or whatever. I want to do something more. And he gets transported, and I don't know if it was just his spirit or his whole body, I don't know, gets transported and appears in John Paul Jackson's room, prays for him, he gets healed, and then after the conversation, whoop, he disappears, goes back home. Yeah. There was this missionary, and I don't know that it was another speaker that told this story, so I don't know all the details, but there was this guy who wanted to go to Africa to be a missionary for years, especially in his younger days, and he just had this burden to go to Africa, but he was unable. It just didn't work out. But every night, he'd have dreams of preaching in Africa. You know, like every night he was there in his dreams, and he would. I love kids, so don't worry. So he would have dreams every night. Well, it was like 10 years later. He's at a conference in Texas,
And this real tall black guy comes up to him and greets him by name and gives him a big hug and says, you know, brother, such, it's so good to see you. You know, and he looks at the guy and says, I don't know you. He says, yes, you do. You came to our village for a whole year and won all of us to Christ, and you were teaching us every day. He thought he was dreaming. But God was sending him there. Isn't that cool? So what happened is have I lost some of you? When heaven opens up and we start to step into a supernatural event, that, by the way, happened in the Bible. It's like God saying, okay, it's time. I'm going to open it up to all of us. And it may not happen to all of us, but it should happen to some of us. Yeah. It should be common. So what starts with us almost scratching our heads saying, oh, there's no way, there's something wrong with this, you know, because it's new. You remember, that's how some of you might have thought about tongues. You know, when you first heard about it, oh, I don't know, is that a witchcraft? You know, you start there, and then you start to see it in the Bible, and you go, oh, no, this should be common. Levitation. Someone brought up levitation. Now, you don't see that a whole lot in the Bible other than Jesus, you know, when he left. That was called levitation. But a lot of the ancient saints, when they were praying, when they were worshiping, would actually levitate. How many of you, in your dreams, you fly? It's happened to me so much that oftentimes when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I feel like I could... And like it's normal for me to do it, and I haven't done that, but yet it should be normal to us, because there's been so many saints that have done that. Walking on water, I mean, that's a cool one in the Bible. We have some of our youth that actually believe that. And so what they did is they filled up their bathtub. You know, it's in Minnesota in the winter, that's about all we have. The youth had gotten together, filled up the bathtub, and they took turns walking through the bathtub trying to walk on water. And they didn't, but they were trying. Yeah. There was a youth group in California that they were having some meeting on the beach, and they're all talking about this stuff. Well, Jesus can do it. You know, he says we're going to do greater things, so let's do it. And so they all grabbed hands and just walked into the ocean together, you know. And, of course, none of them walked on water. But they didn't give up. They said later on in the afternoon, let's do it again, you know. And so they went in the ocean, and as they're walking, most of them were just walked into the... you know, into the water instead of on top of the water. All of a sudden, they looked over, and one of them was walking on the water going out. Now, he wouldn't have done that unless he tried. So a lot of this stuff is like, you know, we have so many doubts in our head. But, you know, to set them aside for a second and just say, I'm going to do something crazy. It's better to fail than to not try. You know, no one's going to get healed if we don't pray for the sick. So there's something about trying, at least, and going for it. And so none of them, you know, that guy wouldn't have walked on water unless they actually tried. And it's that way with all of this stuff. Stopping the sun, authority over the weather. How many have spoken to storms, and you see, that's already common. We've seen that many times. Columbia Heights years ago, we were, Marv was part of that. We were doing this concert, and we had a Twins player, and he was going to give the message, and a Christian concert outside in this park. And as we're setting up, you know, we had a great view of the west. This huge black thunderstorm is coming our way. And so right before the concert started, I mean, it's right there, and we all get together and we pray, and you know, against the storm, and then we looked up, and right there it parted. Yes. Right there. So how many have had that happen where actually the storm parted? Yeah. It parted and went around us. We did the whole concert, and then when we were done with the concert, it started raining. Like God just did that. We in Rochester, a couple times we're doing outside concerts, and we had big storms coming in. And one time, In fact, I think both times it did it. But it came in like, God, isn't happening. You know, our prayers aren't being answered. And then we watched as it went right there, and then a wall went up, and it stayed there during the whole concert. It never, it couldn't step beyond that. It's just the clouds are just roaring up there, but it stopped right there. See, that one's common. We didn't have any trouble with that one. Some of the other ones, you were going, I don't know, this teleportation thing. I don't know. Less pain in childbirth. Some people say no pain in childbirth. Sorry, ladies, but if you go back to Genesis, it says you will have more pain in childbirth. So there was some pain involved. But we're seeing a lot of ladies in childbirth now that have hardly any pain. So what? God has taken his back. Why? Because Jesus removed the curse. Amen. How many have had less pain in childbirth? I mean, yeah. So that should be common more and more. Supernatural provisions. These examples that came up, ravens, the coin and the fish, mouth, manna from heaven, that supernatural vision, water into wine, the multiplication of food. And the more examples that came up, the more we realized that all of those came as a result of a need. Or maybe another way of saying that all of those came as a result of a trial. How many want more trials in your life? I mean, no one's gonna raise their hand for that. But if you do have one, that's the opportunity for God to move in tremendous ways and do signs and wonders. Tongues in foreign languages. Someone brought that up. It was because you remember on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in actually languages. They were speaking in tongues, and people understood them in languages. And I have I've had friends that will speak in different languages. One spoke in Hebrew. I have another one that speaks in Chinese. In fact, we were at Praise Assembly years ago, and his name is Bob Hadley. Some of you might even know Bob Hadley. Who knows? But his tongue language was Chinese, or it sounded like Chinese. Actually, it sounded really funny. And you would never say it sounded funny in public, but it did. That's when he'd speak in tongues, so whenever he'd speak in tongues, I wouldn't giggle outside, but on the inside I kind of giggle because it sounded kind of funny, Well, we're at a church service, and Bob Hadley, the Lord impressed on his heart. He had never done this before, but at the church service, he gives a tongue message, and shouts it out, and I remember, I'm not on the outside, but on the inside, I'm kind of chuckling, and then somebody gives the interpretation. And then Warren Weber, who was a friend of mine, missionary to China, happened to be at that service. So we get the tongue message that was a little bit funny, and then the interpretation, and then Warren Weber stands up and says, I just want you to know, I know Chinese, and I understood, I translated what he said, and the interpretation was right. Isn't that cool? Did you know that the early Pentecostals, they believed that when you got filled with the Spirit, you got two tongue languages, one for prayer and one to tell you the nation that you're supposed to be a missionary at. And the early Pentecostals sent more missionaries than any movement ever on the face of the earth. Why? Because they just believed that. And then God did it. So, again, God can do more than we can ask or even think. Sometimes we're restricted by what we think. It's endless. It's amazing. Calling down fire. I'm not sure we want to do that one. There's not a good history of that one. other than maybe Elijah, but of course he's the one that killed people with it. James and John didn't do a good job with that one. But this is the deal. We have that authority. We have that authority. It'd be great for camping trips and youth events. Just saying. Visiting heaven will be common. You know, John went to heaven, and Paul went to heaven, and you know, back in when I was first saved, we didn't even hear about that, about visiting heaven. How many of you have visited heaven either in a vision, a dream, or physically? Okay, a few half hands, a couple full hands. A few years back, I had a chance to speak to our youth, and there's probably about 21 people in a room with the workers and stuff like that. And before I spoke, the first question I asked was, okay, just a question I just asked you. How many of you been to heaven, either in a vision or a dream or physically? And everyone, all the teens raised their hands. And there's only one in the room who didn't. It was one of the workers. But they all raised their hand like that, just like that. If I were to have asked that question 20, 25 years ago, probably nobody would have raised their hand. And maybe I would have got a few half hands, because the half hand means this: I've had those experiences, but I really don't think anybody would understand it, so I'm afraid to say I have. In other words, you know, what comes with some resistance, even though it's in the scripture, what comes with some resistance, eventually, if we pursue it, it becomes common. Yeah. See, and it's the charismatics that seem to be on the leading edge of these things. And we don't ever want to become old. You know what I mean by like an old denomination? Because then an old denomination becomes content with what they've had, and they're not pressing into what God wants us to press into. So we've got to stay flexible. We've got to stay young. And now people are going to heaven all the time. I've got countless stories of people going to heaven and amazing things that Jesus has done. Amazing. It's like the veil is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Now, to God, there's no veil. He's just waiting for us to step in to those realms. Remember, because Paul says that our citizenship is already there. Yeah. In other words, we already have an address there. Right? And then we've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You know, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we read that at funerals. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was going to prepare a place for us. What did he do? He did that by his death, his burial, his resurrection. He prepared a place for us so now we can boldly go before the throne of grace and receive mercy. What he did is he prepared the way for us to hang out with Dad. It's not when we die. He already did that. So we've been waiting to die so we can hang out with him. And Jesus, that's not what I did. Amen. You've already got a house there. Go hang out. Amen. So once our mind opens up to that, all of a sudden we now become open and the veil gets thinner and thinner and thinner for us. So we can just step right in. Try it sometimes. Just middle of worship. Just picture Jesus in your head. Walk up to him. See what he says. See what he does. See where he takes you. It's like almost we start with our imagination and he takes over. And then he brings us into a realm. And you know you've been there because it has such an impact on your heart. And he always surprises you. He does something that you could never imagine. We're down in Guatemala. I teach there at a YWAM base, their DTS. I get the week supernatural ministry. That's the week I get to teach. It's like, that's like heaven, you know, being able to teach that. And last spring, we were down there, and there was a couple at the base from California who were there just to serve the base for a month. They were just staying there for a month. And they had these three little boys. And in the middle of the week, I was sitting with the mom, and she says, you know, my middle son is having quite a problem every night. He wakes up terrorized. He's seeing monsters at night. And the whole family, not only was getting sleep, I mean, every night he was seeing monsters, he'd get up totally terrorized. And so I was just starting to tell her what something she could do. And he walks in, comes in the room. She said, well, this is him right here. And so I got down on my knees and I said, so you're seeing monsters at night? And he nodded his head. And I said, well, this is what I want you to do. The next time you see a monster, I want you to look around him and you'll see an angel. Wow. See, this is what the devil does, especially with someone young like that, who's connected to the spiritual realm. They want to shut that down because the potential for that young boy is tremendous. And so they want to shut that down. And one of the ways the devil gets us to shut it down is through fear. You know, pretty soon we close that door. And so the devil will always puff himself up to look bigger than he is. He does that with any trial in our life too. Same thing. It's not any different. Well, that's what I knew was happening with this little boy. So I told him that. I says, well, just look around. You'll see an angel. Well, the next day, I ran into his mom, and I says, well, what happened with your son last night? And she said, well, I asked him during breakfast if he had saw any if he saw monsters, because they didn't get up with him that night. Did you see any monsters last night? And he says, I did. And, well, did you see an angel? And he says, I saw thousands of them. The veil is so thin. The veil is so thin. A lot of us had an opening, far greater opening to that realm when we were young, and Satan, through different ways, he had to shut it down. Well, it's time to open it up again, because heaven is right there. Huh. Worship is changing, and we've seen this. Those who have been around for a while, worship is changing. We used to worship from earth to heaven. And now it's changing where we're worshiping from heaven to earth. Remember I said heaven's open? Well, we go up there and hang out there, and it changes the way we worship. Yes. You know, give you an example of worshiping from earth to heaven is, I remember the song, this will date me, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. You know, that's definitely from earth to heaven. You know, us down here in prayers changing too. You know, our prayers and our worship, we're saying, God, if you can hear me, you know, down here, come and help me. You know, well, now we're finding the scripture says a whole lot more than that actually we're seated in heavenly places. And when we worship from heaven to heaven, it changes. I mean, the devotion, the love, the closeness, the nearness is amazing. We're moving from, or moving into, a victorious attitude towards the future. Kind of right where I started. I got to just say that again. It made me feel good. We're moving into having a victorious attitude towards the future. Yes. See, this is what happened. You know, most of us were raised in with what I would call a servant or a slave mentality. Slaves and servants of God, which is true. We have to have that heart. But what happened when it becomes, if that's our mind, we grab the scriptures, and a servant is powerless to change anything. All they can do is obey, right? But now God has told us, because we see it in the scriptures, we're sons. And Paul, when he uses the word sons in Romans, he's talking about adult sons, the ones that receive the inheritance. That's why you women are called sons, because of the meaning of that word. I wish that was translated better in our Bibles. So you got a son of God who has been given everything, and then you've got a servant who's asking God for everything all the time. I like what Bill Johnson says. We spend our whole life praying for what has already been given to us for free. So, two mentalities. If you read the scriptures with the servant mentality, and you'll read about the great things that are going to be happening at the end, which they're all over in the Bible, all the amazing things. Well, I don't have the power to change anything, so that must be happening in the millennium. So we put it in the millennium. By the way, if there's a millennium, I mean, we got to change where we think about everything. So anything good in the Bible, we'll put in the future, and then for our day, all things are getting worse. Why? I don't have the power to change anything. So we actually create a whole end times theology based on how we're thinking. So now read the same scripture with the mind of a son or a daughter of God who's been given all things and has all authority and can change anything. You read that scripture and say, oh, that's happening in my day. We're praying that one in.
Amen.
You have to burn your old books if you start to realize who your true identity is. No longer slaves to fear. So we have the heart of a servant, but the authority of a son or daughter of God. We're moving into a victorious attitude towards the future. Amen. Got a long ways to go, but we're winning. How we interface with the world is changing. You know, most of us were raised, we look at the world, and in fact, we look at other Christians. We look at sometimes our own family, and we judge them. We lift up the scriptures, and we say, they're not following the scriptures, so we judge everyone. Well, God is changing that to a culture of honor. He's restoring honor. Why? Because God made everybody. Daniel's probably the best example. Here, Daniel serves Nebuchadnezzar, who's probably one of the worst kings. He was like a Hitler in every sense of the word, maybe even worse. And Daniel comes in his presence and honors him. Oh, king, live forever. He honors him while he's a mess and eventually wins him. See, it says God so loved the world that he gave. And then the verse right after that is Jesus, the next verse, verse 17, you know, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. It's amazing. Jesus comes and he just loves everybody and doesn't judge them. And then the bride, for some reason, we picked up judgment. Well, that's changing.
Yes. Yes.
And it's going to change the way we do evangelism.
Amen.
I had, oh my, okay. Quick, Rod, quick. The way we're doing counseling is changing.
Yeah.
You know, and let me just say, summarize it this way. We're changing from, it's changing from process to encounter. We're in counseling even. We're bringing people into an encounter with Jesus, and then Jesus changes their life. Our understanding of Scripture is changing. You know, we're going from linear logic. You know, most of us understand the scripture as linear logic. And now we're seeing, no, the scripture isn't linear logic. It's like a hologram. You know, a hologram. You take a picture that's a hologram, and as you turn the picture, it turns into something else. Well, there's a log cabin. Oh, there's an ocean view. Oh, there's, you know. That's the way scripture is. The Hebrews used to think, the scripture had seven layers, and so they'd love to get together in a synagogue and they'd argue because they felt in that setting God would bring them into deeper layers. Well, I think it has more than that. I think it's like a 20-dimensional hologram. So every time you look at Scripture, you turn it just a little bit. See, if you think it's linear logic, we turn it into a rule book.
Come on.
If we see it as a hologram, oh, it's a love book. And there's so many depths of what God wants to show us in all of this. God has taken us back to thinking like Adam and Eve did before the fall. Remember, Jesus died on the cross to break the curse? So what's God doing? He's bringing us back to be able to think like Adam and Eve did before the fall. How did they think before the fall? Well, they just loved. They loved what they saw around them. They loved God. They loved each other. They loved everything they did. And by the way, there were demons in the garden. Yeah. How do I know that? Well, Satan was there. But the demons did not affect them. They had no, like Jesus said, oh, he has nothing in me. Yeah. Right? It was the same thing. They were all around. And that was one of the things that they were supposed to, you know, conquer in the whole world was that realm. And instead, the moment they ate, they became sin conscious. And it caused them to have a sin focus, which then caused them now to judge everything. So we're used to that realm. So Jesus is taking us back to be able to think with a love focus. Because before they fell, there was no guilt, there was no shame, there was no sin, there was no... I mean, they didn't wake up in the morning and think, oh man, I hope I make God happy today. I hope I don't sin today. That wasn't even in their mind. So God is bringing us back to that love relationship with him. And from that, springing from that, will come a gospel that will win the world. And we get to be the ones to carry it. We're the ones. Oh, we sang that song, I'll build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's what God has for us. Isn't he good?
Amen.
We get to be part, and I really believe this, we get to be part of the generation that's going to win this world. The Christianity that a lot of us were raised in, even if it won the world, we still wouldn't have been won. Because we're still thinking like the Old Testament. You know, the judgment, the guilt, the sin, and on and on. So God has taken us out of there, and he's bringing us into his love. And when you love, you don't sin.
Yeah.
That's what Paul says in Galatians.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where he's taken us.
Yes.
And then he's sending us out with that message. And we're going to win our cities.
Amen.
We're going to win our state.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the message that's going to win the world.
Right.
And once we really get it, it's going to move so fast. Because the whole world is longing to hear that message.
That's right.
So why don't we stand and you got something?
Yeah, this is for someone here, I know, and I have another word too, but it's something, a testimony that happened to me like maybe a year ago, but the Lord had spoke to me. I was just alone with him in my living room, and I was going through something, and I can't even remember. But he spoke to me, and he said, Connie, I don't see sin like you see sin. And it shocked me. I was weeping before God, and it shocked me out of my weeping. And I go, I don't understand it, God. Sin is sin. What are you trying to tell me here? And he said, I don't focus on the sin in your life. This was what he... the sin in my life, I don't focus on the sin from your past, and I don't focus on the sin that you're going to do tomorrow or the next day. he said, it is so far removed from me that he said, it gets people, the sin focus gets people so away from him because they feel like they can do something about their own life and they can't. The only thing you can do is turn your eyes towards him. And it so set me free because I started seeing people through his eyes. I did not see the sin they were in, or because we all have different areas that, oh, that's sin. Oh, that's not sin. He does not see it. He sees you perfected in him. He sees you like you're going to be in heaven. And this is for someone out there who has been thinking that they're not worthy, they don't have it, they're focused on their sin. God says it's gone. I don't see it. I see your heart, and you have such a big heart, and the enemy wants you to be focused on your sin from the past or your sin that is going to happen tomorrow or whatever. Forget it. He does not see it.
If you change your focus to be on him, you won't even notice it. It'll be gone.
Exactly. So, and then he said, for this church, he says, no, tell them there is no limitations. And he had said this once to me, and he said, my worst enemy is myself. I limited myself in my thinking about him and what the Bible said, who I was. And I decided I wasn't going to limit myself anymore. We can't limit ourselves anymore, because where he's bringing our church, this church, the church at large, is living from that kingdom perspective. Yes. It's like, and then he said, you don't have to pray for faith. You don't have to pray for the authority. You already have it. Instead of praying it, it's there.
Just do it.
Just do it. God, I pray now, Lord, when we were coming, release that authority that you have given us as your children today. Lord, release that faith so we can see miracles happen. That's inside of us. We have it. We have to start walking like we have it. Don't limit yourself anymore. You are your worst enemy, not the devil. You, because I limited myself. I was my worst enemy.
That's right.
Hello. Yeah, I'm asking Rod if he would just pray an impartation. Anybody ready for that? We believe in impartation here, and so we're just going to allow Rod to you know, posture your hearts to receive.
How about that? There you go. Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you're revealing to us, number one, we've always known you to be great. But what we haven't really known as much as what we should is that you're near. You're so near to us. So we invite you to be even closer yet, and we choose to step into your presence. We choose to step into your glory. It's like we've been waiting to be perfected, and you're saying, no, come on in, and then now all that happens. So, Lord, we say yes to step in. Some of you, right where you're sitting, you might, I know if you're in a row, you can't step far, but take a physical step and say, I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in to all that you have for me. And I pray that right now there'd be just an open heaven over each one of us, God. And Lord, that we would see and encounter you in ways that we've never even dreamt of, beyond what we can think. Lord, take us into that realm. And then, Lord, fill us with your love. And Lord, send us out to our neighbors, our friends. This week, God, I pray there'd be encounters with you and with those around us in ways that we never even imagined. And Lord, let your love just pour in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Go ahead.
Thank you, Rod. Rachel, is it okay if I tell a quick story about when you went to heaven? Yeah. when she was at Bethel. She went to heaven, and this is the story she told me. She said, Daddy, I went and I sat on Papa God's lap, and I talked to him about my future ministry, and I talked to him about all this, you know. But then the thing where she got really excited was she says, Daddy, do you know what she was wearing? I said, no, what was Papa God wearing? Never thought of what God is clothed in. She says, he had that red sweatshirt you used to wear that said, best dad on the whole earth, and those blue sweatpants that you had. Oh, Father wants to reveal himself as a good daddy. We're going to have altar teams. Remember that the service really isn't ending now. Some of the most significant things take place at the altar. It takes place in conversation out in the lobby or with people just praying with one another. So we're going to pray and say amen. But please, let's honor the altar area. Rod and Connie, would it be okay if you're available to pray? And we'll have the prayer teams up here. If you need healing, if you need just encouragement, if you need to laugh, come on up. All right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for the expansion of expectation. Lord, I thank you that this word has served to remind us that we come through a very narrow door into a wide and a vast kingdom that has unlimited possibilities. Shift our thinking, God, that we understand these things by the Spirit. And you've created us to be spiritual people. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.